day, everyone, and welcome to today's Singing Machine second quarter earnings call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you will have the opportunity to ask questions during the question-and-answer session. You may register to ask a question at any time by pressing star and one on your touch-tone phone. Please note this call may be recorded, and I will be standing by if you should need any assistance. It is now my pleasure to turn the conference over to Brandon Hopkins. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us. We have a brief safe harbor, and we'll get started. Except for historical information contained herein, the statements in this conference call are forward-looking statements that are made pursuant to the safe harbor provisions of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve known and unknown risks and uncertainties, which may cause our actual results in future periods to differ materially from forecasted results. With that said, I'd like to turn the call over to Gary Atkinson, CEO of The Singing Machine.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Gary Atkinson, company CEO. I also have with me this morning Lionel Marquis, CFO, and Bernardo Mello, VP of Sales and Marketing, that will be joining us on the call today. For those that haven't seen yet, obviously we reported our second quarter earnings early this morning. For those that have seen the report, obviously this quarter was an unusual quarter in the sense that we did see some loss of goods that occurred during the quarter. So I want to take the opening opportunity to kind of give a little bit more color around what that incident entailed, and Lionel will address it later on in the call in terms of how we booked the accounting and financials for that. But basically what happened this quarter, and we do this typically, this is a very typical shipment where a major retailer buys into a big amount of inventory for the holiday season. It shipped without any issue earlier this year. A few months later, it was reported by the retailer that approximately 70,000 units were reported to be damaged when they received them. Obviously, this was very, very unusual for us. We've never in our time seen anything like this happen before. Numerous insurance surveyors and inspections of the goods revealed that there was some hidden defect with the pallets that these goods were shipped on. So the customer involved here requires a very strict packaging guidelines. And from what was determined from the investigation was that some of the pallets that were used were either not heat treated the way they were meant to be done, or there was some hidden water or moisture damage to those pallets, which unfortunately caused a lot of the shipments to get destroyed by water damage. So the good news is we do have insurance that covers us in exactly these types of scenarios. And as we get into the call, we can talk more about what the ramifications are, how the accounting is handling this, and go into a little bit more detail. But I just wanted at the outset to provide a bit of color around the situation. And then at this point, I want to turn it over to Lionel that will talk a little bit more about the numbers in the quarter and the insurance situation.
Thank you, Gary. Good morning, everyone. As I go through this, I'll kind of give you a sense of how much affected each section of the P&L as we go through this. And then towards the end of the summary of the results here, I'll kind of sum it all up in terms of how much reporting on the damaged goods actually affected the bottom line. So let's begin with talking about net sales, first of all. We did $20 million in sales this quarter versus $24,305 last year. That's a difference of $4.2 million. There are a couple of reasons for that. One is we lost approximately $2.7 million compared to last year from our distributors in the UK and Canada. Okay, they had a lot of inventory going into the current year. They needed time to move that inventory out, so consequently they ordered significantly less inventory, and I think Bernardo can address the Canada situation later with regards to sales. That 2.7 loss was also accentuated by the fact that we needed to recognize a $1.5 million reduction in revenue for the damaged goods that the vendor has charged us back for, the damaged goods incident, if you will. So between the UK the UK and Canada distributors and the $1.5 million damage, that was the primary cause of the $4.2 million decrease. Year-to-date, we did $24.9 million versus $26.1 million, and we're off approximately $1,250,000 from the prior year. Again, there was the UK, and it's the same reasons. The UK and Canada distributors were down by $2.2 million year-to-date, and there was also a $1.5 million offset with regard there was a $1.5 million in the damaged goods that we had to pick up in this quarter. That total would be a downturn of $3.7 million. However, we did have that offset by an increase in the Carpool Karaoke product line that we just started shipping in earnest this quarter. And that increased sales by approximately $2.1 million from the prior year where that product was non-existent. So net of all of those, that explains your $1.2 million drop. The gross profit margin for the quarter was $5.6 million versus $5.2 million. We were approximately off about $435,000. Because of the higher yielding margin from the Carpool Karaoke, that increased our profit margin by $1.3 million, but that was offset by about $500,000 that we lost from gross profit due to the lower sales from our Canadian and UK distributor. Year to date, $6.6 million in gross profit versus $5.6 million gross profit last year. We were up by $1 million. And again, despite the loss of the Canada drop, and we were able to make significant margin increases in the Carpool Karaoke, and that provided most of the increase there. So your gross profit margin, if you will, is up to 28.1 for the quarter versus 21.4 last year. And year to date, it's up to 26.6 versus 21.4. And approximately 4 points of margin in each quarter was due to the new Carpool Karaoke product, and the rest is in the mix of product that was sold. So sales, general administrative expenses were $4.8 million in this quarter versus last quarter of $3.6 million, a difference of approximately $1,248,000. Now, here's where we get into the damaged goods and how this affected us. So let me stop and pause and explain a little bit of the accounting significance here. What we were able to do, since we have insurance, and that insurance, by the way, does cover the replacement, in other words, the sales value of the goods, as well as expenses associated with destroying the damaged goods, warehousing the damaged goods, et cetera, having them inspected. Now, all that having been said, we were able to put an insurance claim receivable on the books for approximately $1.2 million of the cost of the inventory that's going to be destroyed. However, because of the contingency rules in accounting and the fact that the receivable, the entire claim amount that we're claiming is not sure as of this point in time, certain things needed to be expensed until that point in time when we do recover the insurance payable, which will be down the road sometime. So what we had to do is take the loss in net sales, but we were able to pick up the cost of goods sold for the inventory that's going to be destroyed, because that is more certain in terms of collection on the coverage. The other aspects of this thing is that we had to take a charge to the selling expense for $109,000 for freight related to bringing the goods into the warehouse that we were also charged back by the buyer for their the buyer charged us back for the amount of freight that it cost them to bring the goods in. We also took a hit in general administrative expenses of $219,000, and that basically had to do with picking up the goods from the vendor, bringing them into one warehouse in Savannah, Georgia, that so we could make the goods available for inspection. There was rent associated with the warehouse leasing of the warehouse, And there's also expenses with, different expenses with regards to travel for some of our people to go down there and assess the damage, et cetera, et cetera. All of this, as I say, is recoverable from our insurance. From what we can tell in our policy, it does cover all the expenses associated. It does cover the revenue portion of the sale. So we are working diligently on getting that insurance claim completed. And we're hopeful that at this point, the anticipation is that prior to our year-end, 3/31, that we will be collecting on that insurance claim. There's a lot of work here. There's a lot of units involved and a lot of information that's required for the insurance company to make that claim totaled and closed out. So we are working diligently on that. And again, any costs that are associated with the damage that we cannot or may not be able to recover from our insurance policy, we intend on getting that from the vendor because it was the vendor's problem to supply the pallets that were involved in this. So all that having been said, sales general administrative was $4.7 million for the quarter, $4.8 million versus $3.5 million in the same quarter last year. Of that, $473,000, was in selling expense increase. 100 of 9 of that, as I mentioned, was from the shipping or the freight with regards to the damaged goods. And another $364,000 had to do with spending, commissions, royalties paid out on the new carpool karaoke product. Year to date, $6.8 million versus $5.2 million in selling general administrative, and again, primarily due to the royalties, commissions, and promotions associated with the kickoff of the carpool karaoke and the $109,000 in freight. In G&A, we were up by $785,000. We had $269,000 difference because of the bad debt recovery we made last year in Toys R Us. We were able to recover some of those bad debt that we had written off from the previous year for Toys R Us in that period last year, but we didn't have that kind of offset this year. So that was one of the differences. The second thing was the $219,000 due to the damaged goods that we had to pick up. We also picked up $135,000 extra cost in insurance due to us having to, for good reason, for picking up accounts receivable insurance on one particular customer, one major customer. There was also a $100,000 increase in our logistics operation, a couple of things, dynamics happening there. We incurred extra expenses because we spent additional monies in bringing inventory in early to try and beat some of the tariffs that were being imposed since things were unsure and uncertain as to how much they were going to be and when they were going to be imposed. So we tried to push in more inventory a lot early. The second thing is that the wage scale in California, minimum wage, went up significantly over the past year, and consequently it cost us significantly more to get temporaries. Help is at a premium there in California, and we had to increase wages as well. So that took a toll on everything with regards to sales, general, and administrative. It's pretty much the same explanation year to date. We're at 6.8 versus 5.2, or a $1,615,000 increase in sales, general, and administrative for year to date. And a lot of it had to do with the increased amount that we spent on the carpool karaoke for the promotion of it, the introduction. The shows, definitely a lot of expenses associated with that. And there was royalties involved here as well as commissions. We also had, if you look at it year to date, last year we had recovered by this point, year to date, $335,000 of bad debt from Toys R Us versus this year where we did not have that kind of recovery. So all in all, that pretty much explains the major differences in why we overran. It's not like our base expenses have increased. We did significant amounts of work with regards to the rollout of the Carpool Karaoke product, and unfortunate timing when it comes to the damaged goods and the accounting for that. So income from operations was $860,000, versus $1,672 in last quarter versus this quarter. And pretty much the difference there was had to do with the damaged goods. I mean, had we not had the damaged goods that we had to recognize in the accounting, cost us approximately $614,000. And again, this is a timing issue. We expect this to turn around and get recovered in you know by the fourth quarter. But that 614, had we added it to the net income or the income from operations of 860, we would have been fairly close to the same amount that we made in last quarter. It would have been approximately 1450 versus 1,672. So if you take the damaged goods accounting, if you will, or timing of the accounting out of this equation, we're relatively in sync with what we did last year. I think that pretty much covers it, Gary.
Okay. All right. Great, Lionel. Thank you. And any other questions, we're opening it up again for Q&A at the end of the call so we can address any further questions at that time. So at this point, I want to turn it over to Bernardo Mello, who will give us a sales update for this back half of the year.
Hello, everyone. Before I start, I just want to kind of give you the landscape of retail this year. It's definitely not been the easiest to deal with. There was a lot of uncertainties in bringing in the products with some of the tariff situations and tariffs of the unknown agreements that were out there. So we had some retailers that were pushing the delay or pushing their decisions back until there was some clarification in the marketplace, and you know that did cause some strains on us in terms of trying to produce the inventory on time and getting it over to those retailers. But with that being said, I mean we're still very prominent in all the retails across the board. You're going to see Singing Machine very heavily advertised, whether it's for Black Friday, Cyber Monday, all through December. I mean we have something going on all the way from the beginning. I mean from the ending of October, all the way through December and early parts of January. So we're well covered there with all the key retailers. As a matter of fact, Sam's Club just had a big toy event this week, and one of our items was featured on it. We had an increase of sales, sell-through almost by 50% because of the event, and they have agreed to run the event again this weekend. So if you have a Sam's Club nearby you, you should, I welcome you to go in and see the demos that they're doing. It was very, very fun, and it highlighted our product very well. So they bought into that inventory, and from the sell-through data that we got, it was a successful event, and we're looking forward to another successful event here. With that being said, I'll cover some specific retailers. For example, Target. Target was a major overhaul for us. They've been carrying the same assortment now for 3 years. So we took the decision to not wait for the assortment to get stale, and we're doing some stock over. That did increase some expenses on the G&A as we were clearing out some of the older stock and making a way in for the new stock. We feel we have 5 SKUs in there that are fresh, that are brand new. And we're already seeing the increases year over year in sell-through by just the item setting in end of October. They've already come back to us and admitted that they ordered a little bit light on some of the items. And we already received reorders for the spring in anticipation of how the sell-through is looking. So we have a a major ad there coming out in Black Friday where they're line listing 2 items. And taking advantage of that foot traffic, and that's going to bode well for us. Last year's Black Friday item was very specific on kids. So this year we decided on an item that was a little bit more versatile. It could skew young, it could skew teenage years, and also has the flexibility to skew family. So we're expecting much better results, and we even anticipated by having some backup stock domestically so that we could turn around and take advantage of what that increased sales should be. So we're excited about what Target is doing. Also, we've seen a nice increase year over year, about 30% since October on their online activity. Target has now cemented themselves very clearly with being our third best e-tailer, whereas last year, June through November, was a struggle because of some changes they were doing to the website and some items that had dropped off. This year, we're taking advantage of it. We're fully stocked with our assortment, and it has shown in the sales so far. Moving over to Walmart, we changed the $39.99 item to our $59.99 SKU, which has shown to be a good move for us. Walmart did move back their set date, which indicated in some of the Q2 sales. They moved back their set date from end of August all the way through October 20th, mostly because of the licenses, since our assortment is in the license department. There was a lot of big releases and licenses this year from Disney, from Aladdin to Frozen 2 that's coming out now in November. So they did move back their set date, which impacted some early on sales, but now we're seeing that the sales are coming through and the foot traffic is good in that section due to those licenses and the offerings that we've put together. So that's good news. The other thing is we have a lot of promotions going on in terms of the website, and we continue to make headways with different departments within Walmart, whether it's the consumer electronic department, and we're also working with the music department as well on some really cool initiatives to help them offset some of the declining sales with CDs and some of the other older technology that's moving away. They're looking to karaoke to hopefully replace some of that business. So that bodes well for us. Best Buy, we're back in Best Buy. You're going to see us in the check lane as you're checking out. You're going to see the carpool karaoke. You're going to see two different karaoke machines there. We offsetted a competitor from last year. And they're also invested big in the singing machine for the holiday shipper. We're featured in the 12 days of Christmas. So from December 12th all the way to the 24th, there will be an ad run on a singing machine item throughout. And we're very excited on that. We're going to have prominent floor space where you're going to see a 16-unit carpool karaoke floor stand along with two singing machine items, both at $99 and $149. So that's well. Amazon is chugging along. They've already made their direct import orders. We're still getting orders for the holidays now. Sell-through is been flat there so far. And they've had some challenges with space at their fulfillment centers. So we're being proactive and taking some actions by also activating Seller Central so that we have the ability to supplement some of their lost potential lost sales from inventory not being able to be fulfilled at their centers. We're going to do Seller Central in ourselves, and that would allow us to hopefully meet what our target goals were for the year. But we continue to do our marketing spend there from Amazon Marketing Service, from an Amazon Marketing Group, because we're combating a lot of competition there. There's a lot of competition from lower price points, from off brands that are coming from China and flooding the market with microphones and lower price points. So we've been having to be smart with our marketing spend there and really combat those and still position Singing Machine as the top brand within the Amazon landscape. The other thing that's been a little slower on the run is carpool karaoke. You know, we wanted to be transparent with that. We had the idea of launching it in July, which is probably a little bit premature on our side, as this is probably more of a giftable item. We wanted it to launch in July so that, for two reasons, we wanted to take advantage of the road trip that happens during a lot of the road trips that happen during the summer season. And also we wanted to build the algorithms online so that when it came into holiday season, there was a lot of visibility online on that item, and we would have prominent placement when people were searching for either microphones, Bluetooth speakers, or Bluetooth karaoke, or just gift ideas for the road. What we found out when we did a focus group on it was that, we did it with three different age groups, was that people were just, they hadn't seen the item. They hadn't seen a lot of the user-generated content that this item was conducive for. We did do a big marketing push, a lot of digital ads. We did a lot of press releases on it. We hired a press agency to help us launch the product. But in hindsight, I think we would have probably delayed it into maybe September or October, which is more in line with what, the consumers are looking for. So that did cause some early struggles on the item, but retailers are still supporting us. We still have it at Target. We still have it at Best Buy. Amazon is big supporting us. Nordstrom, JCPenney, everybody's still supporting. They feel that, eventually, as people continue to post on Instagram and on Facebook, using the item, that's going to catch, and hopefully we're positioning ourselves for year two. We're doing some tests with some pricing now. We initially launched it at $59.99. We're going to run some tests at $49, even in some of the clubs at $39, just to see what's the right price point. And we believe that by 2020, we'll probably land at $49.99. But for now, we're still playing around with those prices. Just to give you a quick update, I know I may be running a little bit over time, but just to give you a quick update on international, as Lionel mentioned, our UK partners came into the season with a little bit more inventory that they were expecting. The climate in the UK, as you guys know, has been a little bit of a struggle. People are uncertain about this whole Brexit situation. So therefore they're being a little bit more conservative. And therefore, the retail price points that they're going after have decreased, over the previous years. Now the entry level price points are taking more of a precedent, in retail. So we're noticing a change there where there used to be a nice balance from entry all the way to the higher price points. Now some of that lower to mid, items are really taking off. So therefore our distributor has taken a conservative approach this year. He wants to end the year clean, which is understandable. But we hope that will help us, that would ignite some spring sales, for us in the UK, and also come into 2020 much cleaner, where we could be aggressive, again, with those retailers. Some of the other countries, for example, like the Nordics with Proxy, with Cife in Spain, Prenatal with Italy, they also took a little bit of a conservative approach. But as we understand that they're out of inventory, so we've already gotten inquiries for spring business, which should help our fourth quarter. And Australia has been really strong for us. We doubled our business year over year there, and they continue to place orders steadily, so we're very excited as to what's happening in Australia. As for Canada, we feel that, although we have placement, we're in Toys R Us, we're in Best Buy, we're in Walmart, Shoppers, so we're in a lot of retailers, but I myself, I'm not happy with the assortments up there. I wish we would have done a little bit more extensive assortments, so I started looking at the Canadian business, and just as a hint, we're working on bringing that back in, which will allow us to have better control of the distribution of the programs And not only that, but also we anticipate that that would allow us to get the additional margin that we're sacrificing now by giving it to a distributor up there. So, I know that market very well. I used to work it in years past. So I've already started my meetings with Walmart. Soon I'll be visiting Toys R Us. And hopefully we could duplicate the success that we have here in the States with those retailers and bring that over to Canada. So in the meantime, we're still doing Canadian business. We still have presence in all those retailers. But we have a big push for 2020 that we're going to better organize the assortment, which will allow us to have better sell-through and also increase our retail space presence by adding more assortments and adding the assortments that we know work for those retailers. I think that's it. We participated in a lot of activations this year. So there's a lot of great footage that we've gotten, a lot of great coverage that we've gotten. We're going to continue to do those things. We get immediate feedback from consumers, which is valuable for us to know how to better communicate to that end consumer, to consumers from that key demographic, 18 to 34. We've gotten a lot of good feedback by being in those activations, and we're looking forward to doing it again. We're going to have a presence at the LA Auto Convention with Carpool Karaoke. So anybody who's in LA, please visit Range Rover. They're putting on a big activation there of Carpool. And then we're off to CES and Toy Fair and Nuremberg and things like that to present the new line. So we're still moving forward, although we've had some challenges with some damages and some late starts this year to some of the programs. In all conversations that we've had with retailers, they're still supporting the category, and you'll see it by a lot of the promotions that you'll see in the national ads so far this year. So I'll stay available towards the end of the call and for a Q&A, and I look forward to those questions.
Thank you, Bernardo. We are running a little late on time, but I just wanted to make one last final point before we open it up for Q&A. I don't want anybody to look at this quarter and look at the numbers and think Singing Machine had a bad second quarter, because that's really not the case. There were, as we've spent a lot of time talking about, a lot of one-time extraordinary expenses and hits that were due to the damaged goods situation. But if you pull those expenses out, we would be right on track with last year's second quarter. We'd be comping those bottom line numbers. So there's not an issue with the underlying business. The damaged goods situation did cast a shadow on some of the numbers. But again, just to make it very, very clear, we do anticipate to recover these expenses in future quarters. So once that insurance claim gets finalized and settled, we do anticipate to recover those expenses. So that was my final thoughts. And so at this point, I want to open it up for questions and answers.
If you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touchtone phone. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, to ask a question, that's star and one on your touchtone phone. We'll take our first question from John Alvarado. Please go ahead.
Hi, can you talk about any effect of the tariffs or what you've done to address the problems with tariffs?
Yeah, that's a good question. So we started paying tariffs back in September on our microphones. We anticipate that the tariff impact from microphones for this full year will be approximately about $200,000 worth of tariffs that we will have spent. And the tariffs on our machines is not scheduled to go into effect until December 15th. So we haven't seen any tariffs from the actual hardware yet. Some of the things that we are doing to sort of forward think and diversify our global sourcing. So we are looking at some countries now outside of China to start manufacturing product. We've looked at Malaysia. We're also talking with one of our existing suppliers that has a contract manufacturer in Thailand. So we're looking at outside options right now to start moving some of that supply chain outside of China. I don't anticipate it's going to happen overnight. I mean, these are these relationships that we've built up in China have been going on over 15, 20 years. So to move it all away in 1 year, I think is not realistic, but we are making those early steps to start diversifying outside just in case, because we don't know what's going to happen with these tariffs in the future.
Also, can you talk about the potential you see in sales to China?
I also want to, can I touch on the on the tariffs a little bit? I think it's important to also say, to also share with you guys the difficulties of the unknown in dealing with retailers on that. You know, retailers are constantly pushing back that they don't want to take on the additional expense on what those tariffs are. They're being very difficult in their negotiations. So we do stay in those conversations, but it has been a challenge because there's nothing written formally as to what's going to happen, and until something is clarified, it's hard to make those adjustments with retailers. So I just wanted to just clarify, you know, how difficult it is in dealing with retailers when there's no written policy as to what's actually going to happen.
And I think the second question was the sales potential to China. So we put out a press release a couple of weeks ago with the good news that we've now got our Singing Machine trademarks registered in China, which took like 10 to 11 months to finally get our trademark registered. Obviously, we think China could be a very big market. We know that the consumer adoption for karaoke in the Asian communities are very, very, very high. So we think that I think that market could be a big one for us. Right now, we're still in the early stages. We've got some online distribution set up with one of China's largest online marketplaces in the sites Baidu, where they are testing some product sales. And now that we have our registered trademark out there, we can go back and reapproach some of the brick and mortar customers that we had originally reached out to, and start looking to see if we can get some of our product distributed in brick and mortar stores out there. Again, I think it could be a very, very big market for us. Obviously, we all know the population of China and their middle class is growing. We also think that there's a hole in the market there for products of our nature. We don't see a lot of other competitors doing similar types of products in that market. So it looks good. It's a new market, and it just takes time to develop. So I hope that answers the question.
Thank you.
Question from Ethan Starr. Please go ahead.
Yes, regarding the insurance recovery, I just want to make sure I understand this. So it may take a while, but you expect to get the entire amount back?
The answer to that is yes, and here's the deal. I mean, we're covered for the actual revenue, not just the cost of the inventory, but the revenue associated with that, as well as expenses. Now, there are limitations, so there were 6 ships involved. If we happen to go over our particular limitation on one ship, we may not recover 100%. But any portion that we don't recover is our intention to recover that from the vendor themselves. And we are withholding funds at this time to, you know, until things get settled to make sure that we have that, you know, under hand.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ethan.
And we'll take our next question from Mike Schellinger. Please go ahead.
Yes, following up to Ethan's question. So how big is the total potential insurance claim plus what you could recover from the vendor?
The total claim could run up to $2.2 million. And boy, let me tell you, there's a lot of variables in here. Extracting the information required from Walmart is a challenge in and of itself, because there's no one person there in charge of that particular thing. And come to find out that their insurance guy, who normally handles a lot of this there, their risk person there is retiring and training other people. So we need to wait until, I mean, we have to go to a certain point that we'll close off with whatever we have, okay? And should the vendor come back 6 months after we've cleared everything, say, oh, we missed all of this, we should have charged you back more. Our insurance company has told me that we can reopen that claim and file it against the same piece. But the total claim could be in excess of $2 million.
Okay. So I noticed in the 10-Q there was some commentary on music and accessories, and they're up quite substantially year over year for the 4.3 million versus 2 million for the 6 month period. Could you comment on what is leading to that pretty substantial growth in that category?
Yeah, I think that's all, Mike. I think that's all coming from carpool karaoke sales. That would have been lumped under accessories.
Okay.
Our next question comes from Sam Robotsky. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So as far as you've been able to ship additional merchandise, that the merchandise was destroyed or not saleable, so were you able to get them? Yeah.
So those goods that were received by the retailer as being unsaleable, those units will be destroyed because of potential, you know, whenever you have moisture damage, water damage, there's always the potential for mold, and we didn't want to take that risk. The retailer didn't want to take that risk, so we're going to have those units destroyed. But that retailer did go ahead and place reorders to recover some of the inventory that was damaged, so that they still have their shelves stocked for the Christmas season.
Okay, and this is only cost. Is there any profit that you a bill on this to the that the insurance covers, or is it just total cost?
No, we're entitled to recover the revenue associated with this, but this was a Black Friday product, so consequently the margins on this type of stuff is not that big. So it's not like this big boom in margin that we're going to pick up from this. Those goods generally yield a lower margin than our normal stuff. So.
Okay. All right. That's all I have. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And as a reminder, that's star and one to ask a question. We'll take a follow-up from Mike Schellinger. Please go ahead.
Early in the year, you had a press release on The Voice and products associated with that. I was wondering if you could give some commentary on how that's going along.
Yeah, so we still have the license to The Voice. We've been pursuing it and pitching The Voice line of products to retail. Again, as we mentioned on previous earnings calls, this year was a tough year for licenses in the sense that Disney came out with so many blockbusters this year that most retail shelf space was all locked up basically by Disney product. So you had Toy Story and Lion King and now Frozen coming out. And so if a retailer is going to carry licensed goods, which many of them do, they basically have to carry something from Disney. And that shelf space that ordinarily might have been there was not there this year for for The Voice. So it's something that we will continue to look at and to see if there is a market for it. Obviously, we don't want it to cannibalize our existing Singing Machine shelf space. So if it comes down to removing one of our Singing Machine items and replacing it with a Voice item, I don't know if that makes a lot of sense for us. We're hoping to pick up incremental shelf space from this license. Obviously, this year was just a bad year with the number of blockbusters that Disney came out with.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thanks, Mike.
It does appear there are no further questions at this time.
All right, everybody. Well, I want to thank you all for joining us this morning to talk about the second quarter earnings. Brendan and myself will be available at any point after the call if there's any further questions. And again, we're excited about the holiday season that's right around the corner. We're going to be, as Bernardo mentioned, heavily promoted in basically every single major retailer's holiday promotional plans. So you will continue to see Singing Machine dominating everywhere. And I think it's going to be a big season for us. So join us again for our third quarter earnings report that will be coming out in February. So thank you, everybody.